From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, May 9th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
Democrats in the Maine House of Representatives have sustained Governor Janet Mills' first veto, flipping their previous support for a ban on the sale of gasoline containing more than 10% ethanol and killing the proposal altogether. More than 30 House Democrats sided with the Republican minority in attempting to override the veto, but the override effort fell 4 votes short, with most Democrats siding with Mills. The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Beth O'Connor of Berwick, said during the floor debate that some studies have shown that ethanol-blended gas can increase smog.
We have enough lung disease in Maine. We don't need any more. We have enough asthma in Maine. We don't need any more.
In her veto message, Mills says there's not enough evidence to support claims that it adversely impacts public health. The governor also says that the proposal is premature because gasoline with higher ethanol content is not currently sold in Maine. O'Connor's bill initially cleared the Democratic-controlled House in April without a roll call. Maine is the canary in the coal mine when it comes to the field of aging in America. That, according to the longtime executive director of the Southern Maine Agency on Aging. Larry Gross appeared before the U.S. Senate Aging Committee yesterday. Gross was supporting reauthorization of the Federal Older Americans Act. The act supports programs for seniors, especially those who are low income. The funding supports Meals on Wheels, caregivers, and abuse and neglect prevention. Gross urged senators to increase it.
Older Americans Act funding has woefully lagged growth in the aging population. At SMA, after inflation, we receive less Older Americans Act funding today than we did in 2010.
Senator Susan Collins, who chairs the Senate Aging Committee, says she's committed to ensure that the Older Americans Act continues to permit seniors to age with dignity, respect, and community. A Maine district attorney is facing a disciplinary hearing over an allegation she discussed a child sexual assault case with a judge without defense counsel present. Kennebec and Somerset County's District Attorney Megan Maloney tells the Kennebec Journal she's in talks to resolve the issue without going to contested hearing. Maloney says she was called into the judge's chambers and answered his questions.
On the next Maine Calling, learning our mother's stories. I'm Jennifer Rooks. 5 Maine women have written a book about their mothers. It's called Compassionate Journey. Each daughter writes about how she came to understand her mother. And the stories reveal how mothers have complex and interesting lives of their own, not just as moms. Share your mother's story. Maine Calling, Friday, live at 1 and rebroadcast at 8 on Maine Public Radio.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
The Maine Senate overwhelmingly approved a measure today that would require a new analysis of the purported greenhouse gas reductions associated with Central Maine Power's proposal to bring hydroelectricity from Canada to New England. Fred Beffer reports.
CMP wants to build a new billion-dollar transmission system through Western Maine to serve a contract with Massachusetts. It's called the New England Clean Energy Connect, or NECEC. Senator Brownie Carson, a Harpswell Democrat, says the project has stirred wide opposition in Maine, especially in Somerset and Franklin counties, which would host some 53 miles of new power line corridor through the region's woodlands.
Many believe that the project must be questioned. They are concerned about the impacts on the ground, and many want to know if the claims about the project being good for the climate are real, because that can help them and us all as policymakers balance the overall costs and benefits to Maine.
CMP has argued that despite the project's on-the-ground effects, it would be an environmental boon, adding to the region's supply of low-carbon energy resources. The state's Public Utilities Commission and Governor Janet Mills agree with that view. But Canada's Hydro-Québec has largely been a no-show in state regulatory proceedings, and opponents say there is no verifiable evidence that global greenhouse gas emissions would actually be reduced. Senator Carson says that regulators may have determined that the project would reduce New England's contribution to climate change, but that doesn't mean that Hydro-Québec would actually increase production of low CO2 hydroelectricity.
We need to understand the full picture, not just the limited view of New England. As policymakers, we owe it to our constituents, the people of Maine, to provide this level of due diligence because we are being asked by Massachusetts and the developers of this project to accept a lot of impact on Maine in areas that are special to Maine people.
The bill Carson introduced would require a comprehensive third-party analysis of the project's net effects on CO2 production throughout the territory served by Hydro-Québec. Originally, it would have required that the Department of Environmental Protection consider the results of the report before issuing CMP a permit for the project, but that language was dropped during committee review. So it's unclear if the analysis would have any direct impact on CMP's efforts to win a DEP permit. But opponents nonetheless are encouraged by the measure's initial passage. Sandra Howard directs an opposition group called Say No to NECEC.
And so we're finding that our state leaders are really not only listening to concerns that the majority of Mainers have about this project, but they're taking action. And they likely have some of the same concerns themselves, judging on the way the vote went today.
And it was a lopsided bipartisan vote of 30-4. That would be more than enough to support an override of a potential veto from Governor Mills. Her office did not respond to requests for comment, but at a press conference last month unveiling her proposal for a new climate council, she said existing studies of the CMP project's CO2 effects were, quote, sufficient. The bill now goes to the House, which could provide an early test of whether lawmakers are ready to mount a serious challenge to the new governor over several pending measures that could slow or even stop the CMP project. CMP lobbyists, meanwhile, are out in force in Augusta this week. In a press statement, CMP officials say only that the company believes that the legislature will, quote, thoughtfully consider the Carson bill's impacts as its implications come to light. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Maine lawmakers are considering a measure that would ask voters to approve a $250 million bond issue to ease student debt. Mal Leary reports.
The proposal would use the borrowed money to forgive loans at up to $10,000 for graduates who stay and work in Maine for 5 years. Senator Nate Libby, a Lewiston Democrat, made a case for his bill at a public hearing before the legislature's Innovation, Development, Economic Advancement, and Business Committee.
The average student loan debt for recent graduates in Maine is nearly $30,000. That's the 15th highest rate in the nation. About 10% of student loan borrowers in Maine are defaulting on their loans. Of the borrowers who are staying on track to pay back their loans, many are doing so at the expense of not fully participating in the economy.
Libby says he believes that by reducing the debt burden, those graduates with large student loans will be able to more fully participate in the economy by buying homes, reliable vehicles, or just by getting married and having children. Among those who testified in support were several people who say they're still paying on their own student loans and their children are ready to start college. Sarah Layton of Dresden told the committee that interest rates on these loans are too high.
My government student loans have a 6.8% interest rate, which makes paying down these loans nearly impossible. Of the $30,000 that I've paid, $18,000, or 60%, has gone directly to interest.
Committee members expressed concern about the tax implications of the proposal. If a debt is forgiven, both the IRS and Maine Revenue Services treat that as income and tax it. Some on the committee have suggested adding a provision that would not levy a tax at the state level. Jody LaSalle of Corinth told the panel that she would like to see the cost and benefits from this proposal and all bonds spelled out clearly on the ballot, because that $250 million plus interest has to be paid back through taxes.
This is what it will do. It will take 25,000 people and pay off $10,000 worth of their debt. But this is the tax increase. This is the dollar amount that everyone, including them, are going to pay.
The bond measure is one of the largest now under consideration in Augusta. In all, there are nearly $2 billion worth of borrowing proposals before the legislature. Governor Janet Mills has proposed enough money in her two-year budget to pay the debt service for just $200 million in borrowing. So any more bonding would require additional appropriations from a budget that is already being scrutinized as too large. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A dozen planned construction projects have been canceled by Maine's Department of Transportation due to high costs. The projects include road construction or reconstruction and bridge replacements from Portland to Fort Kent. DOT Commissioner Bruce Van Note says he considered several factors when deciding which projects to cancel.
Obviously, safety and customer impact were primary. I mean, if there was something we had to do to keep our travelers safe, that didn't get put on the list.
Van Note says bids from private construction firms are coming in at 20 to 30% higher than last year. The surge in cost is due in part, he says, to a shortage of workers. Algonquin is holding a recall election for three town councilors. The three all supported a decision by Algonquin's town manager to fire the fire chief. The Portland Press Herald reports the three targeted councilors say their opponents really want to fire the town manager. Backers of the recall effort say they have a long list of reasons for wanting the three councilors out. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow afternoon at 1 for Mother's Stories on Maine Calling. I'm Ed Morin.